1 Timothy chapter 2 is a mission verse, and you've heard it from the pulpit here before, and you'll hear it again. And it goes like this. It says, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come on to the knowledge of the truth." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that we might study today with your wisdom to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross for us. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. That's as easy, what I say is easy. You've heard this before. Easy as 1, 2, 3, right? Well, this is easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. So, there you go. Now, you'll never forget that verse. What verse was I talking about? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I was taught a long time ago by a good friend of mine down in Florida, and he said about the Bible, we talked about the Bible all the time, and he says, question everything. Question the verse. Question, he had the idea of who it's written to and stuff like that, but he says, question it. And so I'll do that with this verse. It says, all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? What we're doing today is a follow-up on the last 2 weeks. The first week was Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful no matter where he's at in time with what he's telling the world what to follow for righteousness. The second week was the purpose for the nation Israel. And we saw the end result of the purpose of the nation of Israel was Daniel 2:44, setting up the kingdom, which is way over there in the right-hand corner. And I didn't have any green for palm trees, so I was short on that. But today we're going to look at the purpose for the body of Christ. Why did he start this body of Christ? Why did he give Paul something called the mystery? And what's that all about? I want to try to do that, but I will do that in a very, as simple as I can make it. Because man makes things complicated and weaves things into it that don't have to be there. And so let's just look at the scriptures, believe the scriptures, what God says to us, and then we can pass that along to others. But what's the reason for the body of Christ? Why does God want all men to be saved? Does God ever get glory from an unsaved person? No. So he wants glory, and we do worship him, right? The believers. So he gets worship from us. He gets glory and worship from us, and not never, ever from an unsaved person. Can an unsaved person come to the knowledge of the truth? No. If you follow in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll find out that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't know the things of God. So he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth for his glory and our benefit too. So we both, it's a win-win thing. Oh, gee. It's Royal Oak. Anyhow, you ever get the call of God? Wrong time. The thing with God wanting all men to be saved, an unsaved person, without knowing, ignorantly follows Satan and worships him without knowing it. And it says we were all the children of disobedience at one time in Ephesians. And so if I do this and look at that verse with a Calvinistic point of view, you all know what Calvinism talks about, I'm going to save this group over here, and all you guys are going to hell. That's their thinking. So if that's the way God thinks, but he says all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, if he takes so many millions of people and says you guys are just going to hell, sorry, he just limited his glory, didn't he? He limited his glory and he limited his worship and he just gave it right over to who? Satan. Satan said in Matthew, if you fall down and worship me, that's what he was looking for from the Savior. This is a battle for the universe and we have a part in it. Amen? Everyone's ready to go? Got your swords? We're out the door in 5 minutes, guys. But that is a ministry verse. That is not only a ministry verse, that's a purpose for us. And we have to be part of this because we are. We're part of the body of Christ. Romans chapter 11. I said something about the simplicity of the mystery is what we're looking for. And you know as well as I do, if you talk to someone who really wants to know the gospel or wants to know what's going on today, how do I get my sins forgiven, and all of this, what's he doing today, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but Christ says all this stuff, forgive to be forgiven. Where's the answer? The answer is in the mystery, what's called the mystery, and it starts here in Romans 11, verse 25. Paul says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We studied last week the purpose for the nation Israel for a reason. And the reason that they're around is for a land and a kingdom and a throne that was promised to them in what's called prophecy. And we're not part of that. And Paul is going through and he's going to show differences. If I didn't know what prophecy and the law and the kingdom was on earth, I really wouldn't know what the difference, what fully grace would mean. He's making a comparison, apples, oranges, or whatever you want to talk about. There's a difference. And when you can see a comparison, things become clear. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. And again, a verse that if you're a believer, you understand, you're saved, you understand what the mystery is, you need to know this verse. And if not for yourselves, maybe for your kids or for your neighbor. And it's something that helps clarify Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Let's just stop there for a second. And I ask myself, with that one verse, Romans 16, 25, make a list. Take a piece of paper and make a list. What do we know thus far about the mystery? And if you take Romans 16, 25, you'll find out that you're established. You're on solid ground. When you understand the mystery, you're there. You understand what God wants you to do. It doesn't come all of a sudden, okay? Just as I was here, started coming here about 1982, and it was probably about a year after the seats were going the other way. And it was a Wednesday night Bible study, and someone came up to me. I just remember it like it was yesterday. What's the mystery? And then my answer was, it's a secret. I can't tell you. But the only thing that I reached into the depth of my wisdom at that time, and I says, we're not Israel. That was the part I had. It was enough for me to find out about salvation and all this other stuff. And the great teaching that was here is here. And that's all I had. My brain maybe didn't have enough room for it. But it was taught. I didn't get it all. That's why I'm here. That's why I do this right now. And it's because it's not complicated. You just have to see it. Recognize what it is when you see it. And if it's not the mystery and if it's not the doctrine given to the Apostle Paul, then it's something called what? Prophecy. Are we part of prophecy? And we're going to see some verses here. And Galatians 1:10. Paul never mentions promises out of prophecy when he speaks, but he started somewhere. He was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a Jew, and he was a religious terrorist in his day, killing and taking people who believed in Christ and put them to death and put them in prison. But God took care of him. But God. Galatians 1:10 says, "For," this is Paul speaking, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He wasn't taught it by the 12 apostles. He wasn't taught it by the Old Testament prophets. He was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he never learned it from anyone, never from a man. Who did he learn it from? The Lord, Jesus Christ, from heaven, reached down to Paul. And you know the story on the road to Damascus. And he saw the bright light, got knocked off his high horse. And Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then his next statement out of his mouth was, "What do you want me to do?" Didn't say it quite that way, but Paul was a busy guy, always doing something. The Lord says, "I can use this guy, only he's on the wrong side. He's on the wrong side. He needs to be with me." And he gave him something so grand. First Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see what the Lord decided to give him. We're just going to see highlights. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And it's about wisdom, knowledge, and being saved. All men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It runs through the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:19. It says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, preaching is not foolish, although sometimes we feel that way. The unsaved person looks at the preaching of the cross and the preacher and says, "You guys are just a bunch of fools." That's what that verse is saying. That's what this segment here, the wisdom of the world looks at the wisdom of God, says, "You guys are a bunch of fools." But in that is how, watch the verse. I'll just let the verse speak. Verse 1:24. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." It's Jesus Christ is the power of God. You know, we can talk about the mystery, we can talk about prophecy, but who's the center part of all that? It's Jesus Christ the Lord. Old Testament, New Testament, he's there. You look, you read, Jesus Christ is in that book. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. We're getting to the heart of something right here. 2:6 says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world." Who's the god of this world? Satan. Okay, so who would his princes be? They would be his princes, is the point. That come to naught. Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it," finish the verse, "it would not have crucified the Lord of glory." If they knew that that was God's secret weapon, as I can say it, it was top secret, right? Never, it was hid from, we read that verse in Romans 16:25. It says, which was hid, here I told you to remember the verse, and it was hid from ages. It was never made known. We'll see other verses that say that. But if they knew that putting Christ on the cross would have been their doom, do you think they would have done it? No. It was God's secret. He got hung. Satan got hung with his own rope. If you read the book of Esther, you can get the drift there. But it was Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. But he didn't. Jesus Christ, with his wisdom and knowledge, did not spell out the total effect of what that cross did. That was like Hiroshima, Nagasaki. I'm a young guy. I don't remember those things. That was the attack at Pearl Harbor was a surprise attack. We didn't know it was coming. We got wiped. Hiroshima didn't know that that atomic bomb was coming, did they? We answered the war. The war ended with a surprise attack. And so Jesus Christ, he knows a little bit. And we're gonna lay this attack on Satan. He's not going to see it coming, but it's going to win Christ the authority over the heavens and over the earth. You see my little guys here? These are Jewish guys up here. They're it's the bridge. And so we have the cliff, and they can't. What if the Israel, let's just for sake of illustration, call them the army. Okay? Any army guys here? 2, 3. Okay. Any Air Force guys here? Okay, I knew Rich was back there. And so let's call them the army. What's with the army? The main part of the army is not to be in the sea and not to be in the air. It's usually to be on the ground. They're land orientated. And the Air Force is up here. They're concerned with how to get up in that jet and how to fly it and how to do whatever they have to do. So here's the guy in the jet. Let's say us, where the body of Christ is the Air Force. Okay, how's that? Rich is happy, smiling. And so I'm in a jet, and my right, was that an engine? My right engine goes out or starts to flutter. And I reach and I take out my handbook, and I see how to crawl under barbed wire. Wait a minute, fix your bait. That's not going to help me with my engine, is it? And so that's what the body of Christ does when they reach back into prophecy to try to rectify a problem or to understand something. They're reaching back into old information, and that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, by the way. He wants us to go and use the Old Testament or prophetical weapons that are fashioned back there. What did they do when Joshua went into Jericho? What was he supposed to do? I mean, when Joshua was fighting the battle, was there anything supposed to be living at the end of the day? No, no. But they use spears, they use bow and arrows and stuff, and that's what Satan wants us to do. You got a tank coming at you, and you're going to take out a bow and arrow, right? We're in the mystery. We have something called what? Top secret. And top secret, Pastor Tom had done a long time ago. You're an old guy, aren't you? We're about the same age. And he did this secret document. And it'd be a good idea if you grabbed one of these and looked at it. Maybe help what we're doing here today. But they're down there, or they're for sale, or I don't know how you give them out. But it's the mystery. And the mystery is the amount of information that Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. And when you say the mystery, it's not just, oh, it's a secret. It's not that. It has information in it. And I wrote with invisible ink, by the way. And so we have in the mystery, there is something called my gospel, right? Paul says my gospel. And then in there, it's righteousness by what? Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So faith without, if you tie that in with Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. So he says We don't need the law today. We don't need prophecy because the secret has erased this away. It has superseded that. We're in the heavens right now. I'm sorry. I get real excited when I start understanding what God really did with us. Us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he did this with us. And he's going to put us for trophies. We'll see some verses. Where's Dan? Dan, he took all the trophies, didn't he? And he probably got them all shined up on his wall there, the baseball trophies and stuff. We're going to be trophies for Christ. Look what I can do with this person or that person or this person. And Satan never saw it coming. By the way, I'm going to reread 1 Corinthians 2:8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now I'm going to read it out of an NIV, and you listen. None of the princes of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The NIV says they never understood it. Is that the same as my King James? How does my King James read? For none of the princes of this world knew it. In other words, it wasn't there. It was secret. God kept it secret. And he didn't tell Satan what that cross was going to do. He figured he was going to get Christ out of the way. He's got it made, right? He didn't know. Where does Satan live? In the heavens. And he figures, this is my home. I got it. This is my area. In the army talk, it would be AO, area of operation. And that's where he's comfortable. He didn't know that he was going to lose his home and get cast down because of what the cross did. Everything in Scripture centers around that cross and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And so when you hear the word the mystery, don't say you got to know all these things all at once. Know that it's a system, it's called the dispensation. The dispensation, it came down from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. Now he's got it to us, given it to us, so that we can go through here and say, oh, look at all this. This is what they call need to know, and you need to know it. Need to know basis in service. If something crossed your desk and it said top secret on it, don't you touch it. You're in trouble. If you don't have the clearance for top secret, you better be ready for prison. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, if you want to know the depths of the mystery, Ephesians will really spell out the highlights of it and the depth of it. Ephesians 1:3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. That's different from the kingdom on earth, the throne, son of David, son of Abraham. And so he's going to start spelling out just doctrine in Ephesians here. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's purpose there. That we should be something. He's talking to us. I'm pointing back this way. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's a reason that we're here. Verse 5. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he has made us accepted in the beloved, and my verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How are my sins forgiven? How are yours forgiven? How do you get righteousness? It's all in that secret, in the mystery. It's all there, and it's not under the law, from under the law. Ephesians 1:9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. It was God's good pleasure. You know, it's, excuse me for a second. If the Lord was looking at us, look what I did. I'm pretty good. He can be proud, can't he? And he is. He's proud of what he did with us. And the mystery is something that contains all the a secret weapon, a bomb, the thing that fell in Hiroshima. It's got electronic parts. I'm sure it has shrapnel of some kind, or it's atomic. And I don't understand the rest of it. It has to be able to fly down and hit the target and everything. There are so many different things within that weapon that whatever it's entailed, I don't understand it. But the mystery here, we can understand. We do have it. Paul says, you can understand the knowledge that I have in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 1:13. Watch this. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You know, I forgot something here. And so the purpose is to praise, glory, and worship, I'm sure, but we're going to rule and reign with him. We win, and he wins. Pretty wise, isn't it? All saved. Oh, here. 1:18, Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know purpose, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance, and he owns us. That's okay, too. Today, we're to promote his word about salvation and knowledge. And Romans 3 talks about the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Unto all. It's a unlimited provision, the grace of God, the righteousness of God, but it's unto who? Someone who believes that Christ died for their sins. It's an unlimited provision with a limited application, but it's unto everybody. You can't say that in prophecy because it was, who was the winner back here? Righteousness went to Israel. It says, Psalm of David, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So when you get that finished, let me know. Romans 5:10 says we were enemies. But by the cross, we're brought nigh unto him. Ephesians 2 says we are dead in trespass. Are you in Ephesians right now? Did I have you there? Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 3, among whom you all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy for his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. There's that song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And you know the rest. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. You know we're there already? God has my seat ready for me in heaven. I am seated in heaven. He's got it ready. Polished and ready to go. What if I was in the kingdom? What? In prophecy, where are they sitting? sitting on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Some will come from the east and the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But that kingdom of heaven is on earth in Jerusalem and has a physical place. We're seated in heaven. We're up there. Let me get to a verse here before time evades us. Ephesians 3:5. Ephesians 3, verse 5. It says, which in other ages, speaking of the mystery, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Was hidden. The mystery, it's a body of truth. It's no longer a secret. But it's just called the mystery because this is that set of doctrine that God kept secret in himself until Paul. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can go back here in prophecy, which includes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't find it. You can't find what the cross did for his secret to regain. That was a lot of stuff. I'm trying to get to my head all of a sudden here. But he's regaining the heavens, authority over the heavens. He's regaining authority over the earth using the cross and his secret. And to verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden, God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Here's a verse now. To the intent. There's a purpose that he had, this mystery, the secret, to the intent. This is verse 10. To the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, the mystery might be known by the church. Who's the church? Us. So something in the heavenly places is learning something from us. You think live streaming is something. We're live in the heavens. We are live in the heavens talking to principalities and powers right now. Do you believe that? That's what the verse says. We're teaching angels. And if you tie that in with Ephesians 6, it's a warfare with the principalities and powers. So if we're teaching in the heavens right now, and they're listening, and in Ephesians 6, we're supposed to warfare principalities and powers with spiritual weapons, right? We're fighting our way to the pulpit in heaven. If this word doesn't get out, they're not learning, and you're not learning. So we need to learn it first so that we can teach someone else. And all the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. So if we take and stand back and look at God's eternal purpose, we're teaching the heavens right now what Christ did at the cross, that mystery. And if there's another church over there and it's not teaching sound doctrine, what are they learning? They're not learning it. They're not getting it. We need to keep teaching and preaching, not only for ourselves, but for God's eternal purpose, to the intent that those people up there, those beings, would learn what God did. Why? Wasn't there a rebellion a long time ago? He's going to stop that rebellion. And he did already by forming what? Hell, for the angel and devil and his angels. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he says, I'm right at the top of the pile. I'm the worst of the worst. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. To know the mystery is to know the gospel, is to know the one who we're supposed to follow. Follow me as I also follow Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me as I also follow Christ. I think I said it right. And so we have an apostle. It's the Apostle Paul. He was given the doctrine. I misplaced the mystery. And so if someone asks you in the future, hey, what's the mystery? I hear you guys teaching the mystery over there. What is it? Don't tell them it's a secret. I can't tell you. Tell them there's a lot of information in there. Tell them what you know. Bring them to the Bible. Bring them to a track. We have some tracks. And it's something that needs to be taught, but it needs to be understood. It needs to be recognized as to what it is as opposed to prophecy. Prophecy will take care of itself in its good time. God will see to that. But the mystery is something that's his secret weapon, and that's all we have time for today. Let's pray. Father, we're glad now for the words in your scripture that we have just such a joyous understanding of how rich we really are and who you really are and your manifold wisdom just beyond our imagination. Thank you. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.